This evening, I want to preach to you. The title of the message is Kneeling in His Presence. Kneeling in His Presence, or you could say kneeling in the presence of God. I forgot the offering, didn't I, Brother Paul? All right. Well, we'll do that. Go ahead and do it now. Just go ahead. Let's pass the offering plate in. That's fine. Let's read there. Exodus 34. And let's pray first, and then we'll read verse 1. Okay, dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this night. We can come together and study your word. I thank you for the joy of new birth, and thank you for the children that you've blessed us with these past 2 weeks. And I ask you, God, to bless those children, that they'd grow up and live for Christ with all their heart. Father, please speak to us now tonight in this time as we open your word and study it. Please challenge us and help us, Spirit of God, work through me and use me and speak to my heart and every person's heart tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Exodus 34, and let's read verse number 1. The Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first, and I will write upon these tables the words that were in the first tables which thou breakest." Listen, back in Exodus chapter 32, Moses had been in the mountain. He'd been with God. He had the two stones that God had engraved literally with his own finger. And God had written upon them the Ten Commandments. And while Moses was gone away with God, he met God there in the mountain. God wrote for him the very Ten Commandments. The people's hearts were wicked, and most of you would know the story of how they made a golden calf while he was gone away. They melted all the gold they could find, made a golden calf, and they began to worship this cow. They began to worship this statue, this image of a cow. The Bible says that they began they worshiped around it, they danced around it, they played some rock and roll music around it, because when Moses came back down, he thought the noise was like the noise of war in the camp. I mean, it was some wild music going on. And his anger waxed hot, the Bible says, and he comes down, and as Moses begins to rebuke the people of Israel, he threw down the tables of stone that God had written the Ten Commandments on, and those tables of stone, they broke, and they were broken apart. Moses had literally broken the law. He had literally broken the Ten Commandments or the tables of stone that God had given. But you know something, what is far worse is when God's people break God's laws by breaking them, by disobeying them. It's far worse when we are disobeying the commandments of God and we're dishonoring God in our lives. I think it must break the heart of God when we break His law. When we think about it, honestly, the God who created us, we know how much He loves us. We know what He did in sending His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us. For us who are saved and know Jesus and know what God has done for us, but for us to maybe go out and do things that we know are contrary to God's word, or they're disobedient to God's will and God's commandments and God's plan for our lives, that must break the heart of God. Yes, He loves us and He was willing to send Jesus to die for us. But when we do wrong, again, we're just going against our God, and not just that, but against our Savior. I think it always would break the heart of God when we do wrong, when we break His law, when we disobey His divine and precious word, the Holy Bible that He's given to us. Look what it says in verse number 2, Exodus 34 and verse number 2. I'm sorry, I lost my place there. Exodus 34. In verse number 2, the Bible says, "And be ready in the morning. The Lord said unto Moses, I want you to make two more tables of stone. And I'm going to give you the Ten Commandments again." But He says in verse 2, "And be ready in the morning, and come up in the morning unto Mount Sinai, and present thyself there to me in the top of the mount." God told Moses, "I want you to be prepared. I want you to be ready. Tomorrow morning, I want you to come. I want you to meet me in Mount Sinai, and I'm going to give you the law again. Moses, you broke the law before, but now Moses, I'm going to give it to you again. I'm going to tell it to you, and you're going to write it down." Two things I just want to point out practically from a spiritual perspective about that. If you've broken God's law, if we've disobeyed God's word, I'm glad that He's willing and even desirous for us to come back to Him again. I know that that's not the spiritual truth there, but to Moses, who'd literally broken the laws and commands of God, he said, Moses, you come up into the mount and I'm going to give them to you again. I'm glad that when we break God's laws and when we disobey him, I'm glad he's a God of a second and a third and a fourth chance. He doesn't, oh, you broke my law today. I never want to see you again. You're out of here. I never want to speak to you again. I don't care about you anymore. I'm glad that God's not like that. Our God is so long-suffering and so patient with us. He's even desirous for us to come back to him again. I'm glad he's willing to do that. Secondly, I want you to notice how much God desired for Moses to come into his presence. Moses, I want you to come up in the mount again into my presence. You know what? God is desirous for us too. As New Testament believers, God wants us to come into his presence. He wants us to kneel in his presence. He wants us to spend time with him as his children. God would love for you and me as well to be ready in the morning and to come into his presence and to spend time with God and to present ourselves in his presence, to spend time in prayer and to spend time in his word. Listen, there's a God who he loves to fellowship with us. He made us to fellowship with him. He made us to glorify him. And when we don't meet him in that place, we're missing, and he's missing, the fellowship that he so much desires. There's a God in heaven who loves you and me, and he wants to fellowship with us. And he invites you to kneel in his presence and to spend time in prayer and to spend time in his word and to spend time speaking to him and talking to him and giving him a chance to speak to your heart. Every day, every morning, you know what, something? God desires to spend time with you. God desires to spend time with you. I encourage you to develop that habit again in your life as we talked about last Sunday night. But listen, God desires it for you. He desires it for you. Look with me in Exodus 34. Look down to verse number 4. It says, and he hewed two tables of stones like unto the first. And Moses rose up early in the morning and went up unto Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hand the two tables of stone. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there, and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children and upon the third and to the fourth generation. The Lord declared his greatness when Moses came into his presence. The Lord declared his presence when his greatness when Moses came into his presence, when God met with Moses there on Mount Sinai. I promise you something. If you'll meet with God regularly, you'll know his greatness. You'll see his greatness. You meet with God in the morning. You spend time with God. You'll see his greatness. But may I say this also, practically speaking, as something to help your spiritual life and to help you in your relationship with God. When you spend time in God's presence, you should be declaring his greatness. Here God declared his greatness to Moses. But when you spend time in God's presence, when you come, he's a God who doesn't want you just to come and roll out a list and, God, I need this, I need this, I need this, I need this, I need this. No, there's a God who wants you just to come and say to him, God, you're wonderful. And take time to think about what your Heavenly Father's done and praise him for it. Declare his greatness. When you come into his presence, he's a God who wants to be praised. He wants to be adored. He wants to be worshipped. He wants to hear you say wonderful things about him. There's a God who says, I'm waiting. I want you to tell me how good I am. I want you to tell me how wonderful I am. God loves to hear that. He wants your praise. He wants your adoration. You know what? Some of you have a husband that your husband, he enjoys it if you say good things about him. He enjoys it when you brag on him or say good things to him. Listen, God in heaven, he wants that. He wants you to brag on him. Say wonderful things about him. You like that. You're all looking at your husbands. Hey, no, he would like it, I promise you. Listen, God would like it. God wants you to praise him. Tell him how wonderful he is. When the Williams were here, it was a blessing. They stayed in our home And we had our family devotions together and read the Bible together and prayed together and knelt together different times. And I enjoyed praying with them. And you know what? Common in praying, Brother Williams and Mrs. Williams too, I enjoyed hearing them express God's greatness and just talk about different things. And it wasn't just rehashing the same thing from prayer to prayer, but it's talking about this or talking about this and just finding things to praise God for and declare His greatness. We ought to do that. We ought to do that. It'll help in your spiritual life. When you spend time in His presence, praise Him for His greatness. God loves to be praised. We ought to magnify and exalt and lift up the name of the Lord when we come into His presence. Even in these verses, we see that the name of the Lord is a great name. It's a great name. It's a mighty name. It's the name that saves. The name Jesus Christ saves, doesn't it? We know that. There's no other name given under heaven that can save except Jesus Christ. You take time to think about your Heavenly Father. You take time to think about God's Son. And you take time to praise Him. Praise Him for His great name. Praise Him for His powerful name. Praise Him for being a name that saves. Praise Him, His name that has power to forgive and to pardon our sins. Listen, take time to praise and to lift up and exalt the name of the Lord in your life. When you read about God's greatness in His Word, and when you get alone in a place of prayer and you take time to think about God's greatness, when you read and sing some psalms or hymns or spiritual songs that remind you of God's greatness, listen, it shouldn't be hard. It shouldn't be difficult for there to be some praise that comes out of you. If you read the psalms, or you have a song book at home perhaps, and you read some of those songs about God's greatness, listen, that ought to cause you to just praise God, declare His greatness, lift up His name, exalt Him. And He wants that. He enjoys that. Let's do it. Let's do it. When you take time to read and read some great songs or read some psalms and so on, it ought to make you want to bow down and kneel to worship the Lord. Declare His greatness. Lift His name. Look what it says in Exodus 34 and verse number 8. Moses knew the greatness of God. God declared His greatness, and look what he wanted to do. And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped and worshiped. Moses kneeled in the presence of God to worship His name. And the Lord wants all of us to come into His presence to worship Him. Worship Him, praise Him, praise His name, lift His name up, exalt Him for His greatness. And then I want you to notice verse 9. Notice verse number 9. It says, "And he said, if now I have found grace in thy sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray thee, go among us. O Lord, let my Lord, I pray thee, go among us. For it is a stiff-necked people. Pardon our iniquity and our sin. Forgive us. Pardon us. Take us for thine inheritance." He said there, "O Lord, let my Lord, I pray thee, go among us." You see, Moses knew the sinfulness of the people, and he did not want to lose God's presence. God's presence mattered to him. Having God's presence in his life, he said, "Oh Lord, let my Lord go among us. Go among us. I want your presence. I want you going among us. I don't want to lose your presence in our life." Moses knew the sinfulness of the people, and he knew that that could cause them to miss God's presence. Listen, it's an awful feeling to feel like you have lost the Lord's presence in your life because of sin. It's an awful feeling to feel like you've lost the Lord's presence in your life because of sin. And some of you maybe know that feeling. I'm sure I know that feeling. I've experienced that feeling. When maybe you've done wrong or you've sinned, you will feel, I've lost God's presence. I'm missing something, and I want a power with God, and I want a power with man. If I've sinned, and you don't go right away and make it right, if you make it right, yes, you can have sweet fellowship and know God's presence. And I know I need that. I want God going among us. I want God going freely about in my home and in this ministry and in our church. But when you sin, you will miss the Lord's presence in your life because of it. Turn with me to Psalm chapter 51. I want you to show you how true it is. Psalm chapter 51. When David committed the sin of adultery with Bathsheba and also having her husband murdered, he knew he was missing God's presence in his life. Now, was David a man who knew God? Yes. Was David a man who had known God's greatness and declared His greatness and praised His greatness? He was a man after God's own heart. He was somebody who walked with God and knew God. I mean, knew Him closely, knew Him intimately, knew what it was like to have sweet fellowship with God, knew what it was like to be in the presence of God and know that God was with him. He knew all of that. He'd experienced it. His Christian life, if you will, was very real, very authentic, a close relationship with God. But when he committed sin, he knew that God's presence was missing in his life. In Psalm 51 and verse number 1, what does it say? Create in me a clean heart, O God. Sorry, I read the wrong verse. Go back to verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Blot them out. If you don't understand that word, if you know what whiteout is, we even have such a thing with computers nowadays. Do you hear about the blonde that she tried to correct her mistakes as she was typing and she put whiteout all over the screen? Amen. Yeah. That's what it means to blot something out. You know? And so in verse 2, wash me thoroughly. Wash me, God. He knew I'm dirty because of my sin. He says, wash me, God. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Down in verse 6, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. God knows what's in the heart, doesn't he? God, thou desirest truth in the inward parts and in the hidden part. Thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Down in verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Cast me not away from thy presence, verse 11. And take not thy Holy Spirit from me. David knew that awful feeling. He knew the awful feeling of, I've lost God's presence. I've gone away from God. I've gone away from God's presence in my life. God's not going among us. He's not there, seemingly there like he used to be because of my sin. I believe that Moses knew that feeling also because of times in his own life when he had sinned and Moses prayed. Now really, not just on his own behalf, but on behalf of the people, Lord, go among us. Go among us. When we kneel in the presence of God, I'm so glad that we can find mercy and pardon and forgiveness. Even if we know, boy, there's maybe some sin in our life that has made us go from the presence of God and we feel like God's presence is not with us. And we would cry, God, I want you to go among us. I want your presence there. I'm glad that if we seek God, he'll forgive us. He'll pardon us. He'll pardon our iniquity. He'll show mercy. Back in Exodus chapter 34 and verse number 9, the Bible says, and he said, if now I have found grace in thy sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray thee, go among us, for it is a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin. Moses asked God to pardon and forgive their iniquity and their sin. Moses did not want anything hindering that fellowship and hindering that relationship with God. Over in 1 John chapter number 1, 1 John chapter number 1 and verse number 6. If you can find it quickly, 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 6 to 9, the Bible says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Remember what David said? Thou desirest truth in the inward parts. You know, we never fool God. We could fool somebody else, but we've had sin in our heart or anger in our heart or something wrong in our heart. God knows all that. God knows all that. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Listen, we need God's presence in our life, don't we? We need God's presence in our life. I don't want to lose fellowship with God. I don't want to go through a day feeling like God is not with me. God is not among us. I don't want to go a day that, God, I'm missing your presence. Listen, we need God's presence in our life and we need to remain in God's presence. We can have close fellowship with our Heavenly Father if we acknowledge and confess our sin. The sweetness of God's presence can return. The joy can return, as the psalmist cried for. The clean heart can return. The clean conscience can return. The feeling of guilt can be taken away, and God can renew a right spirit within us. He can do all those things when we're walking in God's presence, when we're obeying Him. We can see God and do some great and awesome and mighty things in our midst, and He will. But we need to be in God's presence. We need to be in God's presence. I don't want there to be things that hinder God's presence or hinder Him from walking in our midst. Go back to Exodus chapter 34, and I want you to see there verse number 10. Exodus 34 and verse number 10. The Bible says, "And He said, Behold, I make a covenant. Before all thy people I will do marvels, such as have not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation. And all the people among which thou art shall see the work of the Lord. For it is a terrible thing that I will do with thee." Again, if you've got an English Bible, that word terrible, it means awesome. It means awesome. It's used often in the Old English, the King James Bible, but it meant awesome. When He says, "I'll do terrible things," it means "I'll do awesome things among you." That word had a different meaning years ago. I'll do some awesome things among you. God made a covenant with Moses. God made a promise to His people. They would see the Lord's hand work. They would see the awesome things that God could do with them. Listen, do we want to see God's hand work in an awesome way? Do you want to see God's hand work in a great way? Do we need to see God answer prayers and do miracles in our midst? Then let's make sure we're walking in God's presence. Let's make sure we're staying right with Him. Because God is not overly interested in blessing His children if we do not want to be with Him or if we do not want to obey Him. Right? It's the same as we would be with our children. I'm not overly interested in blessing my children if they would never want to be with me or they would never want to obey me. Why would I want to bless them then? Why would I want to bless them? I don't want to bless some brat if they wouldn't want to be with me. If kids didn't want to be with their dad, I wouldn't want to bless them. If they didn't want to obey their dad, I wouldn't want to bless them. Well, listen, God is our Heavenly Father. Why should He want to bless us? Why should He want to answer our prayers? Why should He want to do awesome and great things in your life if we're not wanting to be with Him like we should? And we're not going to Him and we're not spending that time in His presence like we should. Or we're not obeying Him and there's sin in our heart or sin in our lives. That'll hinder the blessing. That'll make it so that God is not going among us. That'll make it so that we are missing God's presence in our life. I don't want that. I don't want that. In verse 11, God said, "Observe thou that which I command thee this day." God always has wanted His people to observe, to follow, to obey, to do what He's commanded. And then notice verse 12, Exodus 34 and verse 12. "Take heed to thyself." Take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land whither thou goest, lest it be for a snare in the midst of thee. You know what? We in our Sunday school class this morning, for Solomon, when he began to marry all the women of the heathen nations that were in the land, it became a snare to him, didn't it? It turned his heart away from God. Listen, the Bible warns all of us, take heed. Take heed to thyselves. Take heed. We better watch ourselves. We better guard ourselves. We better live separate from the world and live holy lives set apart unto God. God was warning His people in that verse. He was saying, I don't want some of the things of the world to become a snare unto you. The New Testament warns us to watch out and to beware of the temptations, beware of the snares of the devil. Listen, Satan would love to make us his captive. A snare, if you don't understand that word, is like a trap. You might use a snare or a trap to catch animals. You know, the people years ago, and I'm sure there's somebody somewhere still doing it, but years ago it was very common for fur traders and so on that they would go and there'd be people out in the woods that would set lots of snares and set lots of traps to capture the beavers and capture different kinds of animals, and they would take those furs and take those things and sell them. That's what a snare is, a trap that captures an animal. Well, listen, the Bible says that Satan's trying to do the same thing with us. He's trying to ensnare us. The world wants to get us in a snare. The world wants to trap us. When you get in a snare or a trap, you're done. And have you ever used a mouse trap? That mouse trap, the purpose is to get rid of the mouse. Yeah, it's not nice. See a mouse caught in there and then blood coming out later and all that. Yeah, not nice. Listen, we don't want to get trapped in the snare of the devil. That would be far worse. For you to get trapped and snared by the devil, by the world in your life, listen, you'll miss so much. Satan, he really doesn't care what we do as long as he keeps us away from the will of God and the blessing of God and the presence of God. Let's not get caught in the snares of this world. Let's take heed to ourselves. Let's guard ourselves. Let's watch out. Beware. Let's guard ourselves to do right. Not enter into things of this world that would hinder us from being in God's presence. It's hard to be walking with God and be walking with the world at the same time. You got to walk with God and stay in His presence, stay close to Him. Lastly, just let me say this. I believe we ought to offer presence to God in His presence. We ought to offer presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S, presence, gifts. We ought to offer gifts, presence to God in His presence when you come before Him. What's the greatest gift you can offer to God? What is it? What's the greatest present that you could give Him? The correct answer is you. You. Yourself. Look with me at one verse and we'll be finished. Look at Romans chapter number 12. Romans chapter number 12. Well, you're going to kneel in God's presence. He wants you to kneel there to worship Him. He wants you to kneel there and lift up His name and exalt His name and praise His name and declare how wonderful the name of God is. He wants you to make sure that there's not sin in your life that is maybe hindering you from having God's presence. I hope your desire would be like Moses to say, Lord, Lord, go among us. I want your presence in my life. I hope it'd be like a psalmist. The psalmist, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. If there's things wrong, make it right because I don't want to miss God's presence. I don't want to miss God's blessing. I don't want to miss what He can do and wants to do in my life. We better take heed to ourselves. We better guard ourselves against those things that can ensnare us. If we have done things, we need to make those things right with the Lord because we want His presence. We long for His presence. We don't want to let anything keep us from having God going among us and showing Himself and doing great and awesome things for us and in our lives. We also ought to offer presence in His presence. We ought to offer ourselves. Romans 12 and verse 1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God that ye present, that ye present yourselves, you offer the presence. You offer yourself as the gift. You present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Listen, present yourself to God every day. Die daily to self. Die daily to self. Present yourself to God. God, I'm giving myself to you today. Present yourself to God every day. Present your life to God. Be willing to submit to His will. What is God's will for your life? Submit to that. Present yourself to God. Present your life to God and submit to His will. Present to God a holy life. Don't lose God's presence in your life because you've walked away from Him and into a life of sin. It's not worth it. It is not worth it. When we walk away from God and we walk into sin and we think, woo, this is good. Yeah, there is pleasure in sin for a season. But sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. It'll bring forth a guilty conscience. It'll make you lose the presence of God. It'll make you miss God like David missed Him. It'll make Moses know what it was like to miss Him where he said, Lord, I want you to go among us. I want your presence again in my life. Oh, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. Don't lose God's presence in your life because you've walked away from Him and into a life of sin. That will leave you feeling empty, leave you with a guilty conscience, leave you missing God's presence in your life. Present yourself to God every day by dying daily to self.
Present your life to God. Submit to His will. Present to God a holy life. Don't lose His presence in your life because you've walked away from Him. Enter into God's presence every day to walk with Him, to fellowship with Him. Isn't it amazing to think that the God of the universe wants to spend time with you? He wouldn't mind talking to you, Nathan, Phineas. He wouldn't mind talking to your mom and dad. He wouldn't mind talking to every one of you. He'd like to talk to you. He'd like you to talk to Him. You know, there's a God that likes the voice of little children and grown adults and seniors. He likes the voice of everyone. He'd like to hear your voice. He'd like to hear you spend time with Him. He'd like to hear you talk to Him and fellowship with Him. He'd love for you to worship Him and praise Him for His greatness and magnify and lift up His name. Oh, He enjoys it when you come to Him and you do seek forgiveness and you do seek mercy and you do seek pardon in your life when you've sinned, when you've done wrong. He likes it when you kneel in His presence. Let's do that. Kneel in His presence. Kneel in His presence to worship Him. Kneel in His presence to praise Him and to lift up and exalt His name and tell Him how great He is. Kneel in His presence just to fellowship with Him and enjoy spending time with Him. Kneel in His presence to maybe confess sin and forsake it and to make things right in your life between you and the Lord. And make sure there's not things that be causing you to miss it. Miss it, His presence. It'll be an awful feeling. An awful feeling. Let's kneel in His presence. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father,